I would be giving a sermon at the Feast of Tabernacles wearing flip-flops, but I can't find my shoes. I've not seen them since we've been here, and that's not bad. You know, I'm at God's feast. This is something he might have worn, so I don't feel so bad about that. I'd like to start with a quick prayer if we could. Heavenly Father, I pray that your message be heard here today, not from my heart, but from yours. Not only the speaking, but the hearing. In Jesus Christ's holy name, I pray and thank you. Amen. The reason I did that is because, well, I'm human and I'm fallible. And I might misspeak, so let God speak. Okay? And you're human and fallible, and I've sat in those seats and I've misunderstood the speaking, so I want your hearing to be from God. Because we all know what happens when it's not. This sermon is on the altar. Speaking of famous American heroes, I was thinking about Amelia Earhart. What an amazing person she was. Can you imagine being there? We've all seen the footage of her wearing the hat and the goggles and getting in that plane and they get the propeller going and she takes off, never to be seen again. Something went wrong. But still, because of her death, not her accomplishment, but because of her death, she is remembered. If she had made it and went on to do other great, fabulous things, that event would have been forgotten. Another one is Elvis Presley. Because of his death, he became more famous after he died. Picasso. Name them all. Their death made them famous. But Amelia Earhart, to me, is a true hero. Really. Her spirit and her drive to do the unknown, the undone, it's really amazing. My greatest hero of all is Jesus Christ. He's my hero. I look to him for everything. So when I'm, you know, we've heard a lot about sacrifices this week, and to me that ain't macaroni. That's pretty deep stuff. And yeah, I'm going to talk about some sacrifices today, but for me, and you could say this is my personal reflection on it. What is it for? What does it mean to us now? Before we came here, I was talking with someone and reading out of Leviticus 23, and you shall do your sacrifices. Well, you do that? Yeah, I do. I do. I most certainly do. It's the Word of God. It is His command, and I do sacrifices at the Feast of Tabernacles. I don't kill any animals. That would be blasphemy against Christ, my hero. Because Christ didn't just take off never to be seen again. He accomplished it. And even though He died and He is remembered for His death, He still accomplished the goal and came back. That's something no one, no hero has ever done except Him. So He is the true ultimate hero. My dad said to me when I was a teenager, "I'm your hero." I said, "No, you're not." I was old enough that my dad was no longer my hero. Jesus was my hero. To that, my dad said, "Okay, I'll accept that." Truly, my grandfather was my hero. He was the true patriarch. My dad was trying to claim it. Your hero. That means a lot. It's who you look up to. It's who you respect. It's who you imitate, mimic. Their life is what you draw on. And Jesus is my hero. Malachi 3:6. Now, unfortunately, James, I've got a lot of verses to go through, and I don't read fast like you do. To add to that, last night at the fun show, I got stung right behind the ear here, and it's really bugging me today. My jaw's kind of numb, so bear with me, please. Malachi 3:6, I've got them printed off. I'm just going to quote the reference and then start reading, okay? For sake of time. This is talking about my hero here. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. And that one got me. What on earth does that mean? I get the part about he's the Lord. I get the part about he doesn't change. But therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Let's go to Exodus 20. You shall not make with me gods of silver, neither shall you make unto you gods of gold. An altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, and shall sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings and thy peace offerings, thy sheep and thine oxen. In all places where I record my name, I will come unto thee, and I will bless thee. And if thou wilt make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn stone, for if thou lift up a tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. Now there's a lot of interesting things in there. No silver, no gold. It's an altar of earth or stone, not touched by hands. I'm not made out of silver. I'm not made out of gold. I'm not made out of stone, but I do have bones. That's a structure. I believe that's what the stones might be for. I wasn't made with human hands, even though it's genetically I'm here. God first formed us. So there's a similarity between my body and the earthen body of the altar. Not that the altar itself is a living thing. Or is it? Genesis 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living soul. The forming of the physical flesh did not become life until God made it a living soul. There's a similarity. The altar, it was just a chunk of dirt or stones piled up, had no real purpose, no life to it, until it was used for service to God. And in that sense, had life. Acts 3:6. Then Peter said, once again with the silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. It didn't cost money for him to do that. In what form did he do that? What was the purpose of it? Let's move along. Matthew 10, 5 through 10. These 12 Jesus sent forth, and I know I did this verse the other day, but these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preaching, saying, the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus is here. He's come. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses. I'm drawing a comparison between our bodies and lives and purposes and the altar. So we have likeness to God's altar, or does God's altar rather have likeness to us? Which way is it? The altar was of great importance to us, but it wasn't meant to be desired by a thief. There's no tangible monetary, they're not going to break in, steal the altar and make off with it and sell it because it was made out of dirt, stones. You could get that anywhere. If they steal me and kill me, what have they got? There's no monetary value there. It serves a purpose. It is the way we are healed. It is the way we are made ourselves. It is how we draw closer to God. For that, there is, it is priceless. Christ's death ensured its pricelessness to our salvation. It becomes a Picasso to God's people. Exodus 21:14. Okay, the law is the schoolmaster, we all know that, and it is still valid. All these sacrificial laws we read about, and I know we kind of nod off sometimes in it, but every single one of those are still valid and still true and still required for salvation. Exodus 21:14. But if a man come presumptuously upon his neighbor to slay him with guile, thou wilt take him from mine altar that he may die. That one really got me. We know that the altar is rather important. Without it, we die. But we don't have that physical earthen altar. In fact, we can't do that now. According to the law, we can't have that physical earthen altar that Moses had during that time period. So are we going to die? Of course not. It was the schoolmaster. The law is still required for it. We're still required to have it, but we can't have that one now. We have the original. That was a copy. That was a schoolmaster. That was an instructionary device. We were born with the original. Exodus 27:1-9. Now, as Israel was traveling, they found a need to streamline the altar. Okay? Make it a little more functional. And thou shalt make an altar, Exodus 27:1, of shittim wood, 5 cubits long and 5 cubits broad. The altar shall be 4 square. So I'm imagining in my head, being a carpenter, a cubit's about 18 inches. We're talking 7.5 feet by 7.5 feet. And the height thereof shall be 3 cubits, so that's 4.5 feet high. You could fit a few animals on there. Okay. And thou shalt make the horns of it upon the 4 corners thereof. His horns shall be of the same. And thou shalt overlay it with brass. And thou shalt make his pans to receive his ashes, and his shovels, and his basins, and his flesh hooks, and his fire pans. All the vessels thereof shall be made of brass. Who is the his? Well, it belonged to God, didn't it? The altar itself is referred to as an it. The possession of it was that it belonged to Christ. Verse 4, and thou shalt make it a grate of network of brass. We've got a little stronger skeleton for it now. More transportable, but still brass, not a high commodity. And upon the net shalt thou make 4 brazen rings in the 4 corners thereof, and thou shalt put it, it's just a thing, under the compass of the altar beneath, that the net may be even to the midst of the altar. And thou shalt make staves for the altar, staves of shittim wood, and overlay them with brass, not gold, not silver, not diamonds or jewels, but brass. And the staves shall be put into the rings, and the staves shall be upon the 2 sides of the altar to bear it. Hollow with boards shalt thou make it. And it was shown, as it was shown thee in the mount, so shalt thou make it. You can't really haul an earthen or stone structure around all over the wilderness. God made them build a portable one. Still no silver, no gold, nothing fancy. It wasn't alive of itself, but it was life to Israel. It's what it represented, was the life. It belonged to God. without it, they died. So it's pretty important. Leviticus 6, verse 9. Command Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. It is the burnt offering. Because of the burnt offering upon the altar all night into the morning. I don't think I read that correctly. It is the burnt offering. Because of the burning upon the altar all night into the morning, and the fire of the altar shall be burning on it, in it. Verse 12, and the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. The priest shall burn wood on it every morning, and lay the burnt offering in order upon it, and he shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offerings. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. Okay, well, I'm flesh and blood. The original altar was dirt, same material, stones, a skeleton. I get the correlation there, but fire? I don't know that I have that in me, do I? Do you have fire in you? That should never go out. Exodus 29:12-13. Thou shalt take of the blood of the bullock and put it upon the horns of the altar with thy finger and pour all the blood besides the bottom of the altar. Well, I've got blood in me, so I can see how God would make this altar to symbolize my body, I guess. It's got blood in me. I have no silver or gold in me. I'm made from earth. I have body and blood. But what is this fire? Do I have that? Do you have that? Without it, we die. Malachi 3:6 again. Because it's important. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed. That verse just kept repeating in my brain. John 4:24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit. And I've heard that quoted exactly like that thousands of times. But what it also says is, and in truth. Matthew 12:18-19. Behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, and whom my soul is well pleased. And this is referring to Christ. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. Can God actually share his spirit with us? Acts 10. Acts 10, verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that fears him and works righteous is accepted in him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. The word I say you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all these things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and dead. To him give all prophets witness that through his name whosoever believes in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Spirit fell on them which heard the word. And they of circumcision which believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit. I submit to you that that is the fire of the altar, is God's Holy Spirit. And can I have that? Can I have another? Leviticus 9. I was going to read the whole chapter, but we'll give you the highlight of it. Verse 24. And there came a fire out from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces. I'm going to give you the gist of the leading up to that. Moses tells them, God's going to reveal himself to you today. And they laid all this meat on this 7.5 by 7.5. The thing was covered with meat, basically, and flesh. Well, I've got flesh once again. And God came down and consumed the whole thing, licked it up, gone. Pretty awesome. Leviticus 10:1. Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, I change not, therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed. They did something wrong. Numbers 3:4-5, Nadab and Abihu died before the Lord when they offered strange fire before the Lord in the wilderness of Sinai. And they had no children. Eleazar and Ithamar ministered in the priest's office in the sight of Aaron their father. Numbers 26:61, and Nadab and Abihu died when they offered strange fire before the Lord. These are the only three places in the entirety of Scripture that mentions the words strange fire, and it's all about this subject, this event, when Nadab and Abihu offered something other than the fire of God on his altar. I thought about getting a lighter and going, this is the fire Nadab and Abihu tried to put on God's altar because they let it go out. And fire went out from God and consumed their bodies. You ever wonder why when Moses saw the burning bush, the bush wasn't burned? There was no sin on the bush. The bush hadn't sinned. God's Spirit does not consume something that unless it has sin on it. There was sin in Nadab and Abihu, and they were consumed. Their sin was consumed. When you, back in that time, put your hands on this animal and slit its throat, laid your sins on it, threw it on the thing, it would be consumed. But not with the big lighter kind of fire, with a different kind of fire. I submit it was the Spirit of God. And when we are baptized, we are given a small earnest of that fire, the same fire that was on God's altar. It is to be placed in our altars. If there's no sin in us, it will do us no harm. But we can slowly feed it with our good works, and it'll grow. It doesn't consume us. For I am the Lord, I change not, therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed. That's what Jesus is saying to us. Little at a time, feast day by feast day, sin by sin, good deed by good deed. Numbers 11:1-2. When the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed them that were in the othermost parts of the camp. Numbers 16:35, and there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. Deuteronomy 4:24, for the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. Hebrews 12:29, for our God is a consuming fire. He consumes all that is out of sort with Him, all that is evil. But that which is good is built up by it, the same flame. 1 Kings 18, give you an example of this consuming part. 1 Kings 18:31, and Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribe of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood, and said, fill 4 barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice, and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. I don't think my Bic lighter is going to burn anything there with all that water on it. It ain't going to happen. And the water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that these people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering, the wood, and the stones, and even the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. You got a little bit of that inside of you. That's pretty amazing. That's no small thing. Revelation 20. I have messed up. Revelation 20, verse 8. And shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And we all know that's the promise to Abraham. He's going out to battle Israel. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. This is end time. This is end of the 1,000 years and all. Verse 10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the book of life according to their works. Their notebook, James. That was good. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And the dead and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Did you notice where the flame started? For the lake of fire? It came out of heaven from God. And that started the lake of fire burning. This is not Dante's Inferno. just like the stones and even the very dust were consumed. These folks are consumed. Their flesh, their blood, their bodies, gone. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. That verse is starting to make sense to me now. You see, if we take on just that little earnest of God's Holy Spirit, and He gives us, and He says this, I will not give you more than you can handle. We think that's bills and labor and... No, He's talking about Himself. That little earnest, and He puts it in there, on our little altars, the true altar. And He says, daily sacrifices. And I've been doing my daily sacrifices here at the feast. I've been obeying those laws. Christ is my true sacrifice. But there's more. Behold, I have taught you statutes, Deuteronomy 4, verse 5, and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do so in the land where you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them. This is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of all nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this is a great nation, a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who has God so near to them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon Him for? And what nation is there so great that has statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? That's the attitude we're supposed to have. Most of us don't. This is an example of how we keep the fire going. I had a fellow once, he says, well, the more you sin, the more the flame goes, and the more the Holy Spirit you got. No, doesn't work that way. You feed it with good works, and you can ask for more, and you can bear it. If He gives you more of His Holy Spirit, and you're full of sin, you die. You can't bear it. There's many such examples. Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's not unreasonable to be a living sacrifice, dying daily to sin, throwing that on the altar and being done with it, moving forward into holiness. So we are to be a sacrifice ourselves in following Christ's example. Constantly burning away the evil which is within us, to be cleansed by the Spirit of God. Look at it this way, and I've mentioned this, but better to do it a little at a time now rather than all at once and not be able to stand the fire of that judgment day. We all walk through the fire. We all do. The flames. It's up to us how we do so. Matthew 26:61. I'm going to talk about the temple. We don't have a temple. Oh, when are they going to build the temple so we can start sacrificing again? Well, haven't you been doing that? I have. I know you have. Oh, the temple, the altar. We've got that. All of it. Christ didn't leave us empty-handed. Matthew 26:61, and said, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. They're mocking Christ. Mark 14:58, we heard him say, I will destroy this temple and make it with that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands. They're mocking my Lord. This is our hope, to follow Christ in that. Into the physical death, yes, but then into eternal life, rebuilt without hands. So we're not only an altar, but we are also a temple. Let's get into that one. Now he that plants And he that waters are one. Every man shall receive, 1 Corinthians 3:8, shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are the laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another building thereon, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he builds thereupon. God is the foundation. How are you going to build your house? For other foundations can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon his foundation gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble, it's up to you. This is where the true jewels come in. Every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. I don't need to know your sins, but everybody's gonna. It's like James was saying, what's left in your notebook? Because that's all you're gonna be able to be seen. How did you build your building? Did it burn away in the fire, or did it stand with Jesus? If any man's work abide, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. And if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, even though he himself may be saved. Well, you got salvation, but that's it. So, yet so as by fire. You know that you are the temple of God. Verse 16 of Matthew 26. No, I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians 3. You know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you. If any man defiles the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Let's go to Luke 24. Verse 32. And they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us when he talked with us, by the way? And while he opened unto us the scripture, our altars burning within us when Christ speaks to us? Luke 6, 45. Excuse me. That one gets me. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth that which is evil. And of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. That's the test right there. Matthew 5, 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, they shall be called the children of God. Excuse me. That is the goal. Matthew 12. I'm getting close. Last page. Matthew 12, verse 34. Old generation of vipers. Excuse me. Sorry. How can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words shall thou be justified, and by thy words shall thou be condemned. When Christ was given authority by God the Father to recreate this planet, to make it inhabitable for us, to manipulate it into what we can live on as in these bodies. I was talking to my daughter Abby about this the other night. I said, you know how he did it? She said, no, Daddy, how? I said, he just spoke the words. Let there be light. And there it was. That's how he did it, just by speaking the words. Well, of course, we're not God, so, and thank goodness, or we'd all been dead thousands of years ago with our words, right? But our words have validity, power. From our words, we know if we have a good heart or an evil heart, and that's what we're judged by. Our works are our words, our actions, our deeds also. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Hallelujah. I am not consumed. Malachi 4, 1 through 6. For behold, the day comes that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that comes shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fears my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall, and you shall tread down the wicked. You don't have a part in this, gruesome as it is. For there shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, says the Lord God of hosts. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I command unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. He's not going to do it without warning us. He doesn't want this to happen this way. He wants us to accept his fire and be a living sacrifice. Die to this world and live for him. My hope is that at this feast we have made our living sacrifices, morning and evening and all through the day, upon the altar of God in his temple, as the schoolmaster has shown us. Thank you.
Thank you, Phil. Well done. Now let's do another hymn. Let's take your hymn books and turn to page 127. 127. He's got the closing prayer. Israel. All right. Israel, close us in. 127. Speaking may be just and in judging right. My iniquities blot out, my sin hide from my view. And in me a clean heart may, spirit right. wide renew. From thy gracious presence, Lord, oh, cast me not away. And thy Holy Spirit take not from me, I pray. Joy which thy salvation brings again to me restore. With thy Spirit do thou keep me evermore. Sacrifice does thou not want, else would I give it thee. And with offering shall thou not divide it be. For a broken spirit is to God a sacrifice, and a broken contrite heart thou wilt not despise.
Thank you, Israel.
Heavenly Father, Most High God, we come before you to thank you. We come before you to praise your name because you're worthy, Lord. We thank you for the sacrifice that you provided for us through Jesus Christ, our Messiah. We thank you for the Bibles that we have. We thank you for the freedoms that we have to worship you in peace and harmony. We thank you, Lord, for all your blessings that you bestow on us. We thank you for about the blessings that we receive at this feast. And now I pray that you would be with our brothers and sisters who are on the way back, and with all of us who are on the way back. Protect us from evil, protect us from accidents, protect us from all that is bad out there. And we thank you and we praise you. In the mighty name of Messiah Yeshua, Jesus Christ, our Messiah and Lord. Amen.
We've got one other service for those that are able to come this afternoon at 3:30. Also, I'll try and get any of the messages that were done here up on the web by the end of the weekend. Figure Sunday will be the first time I can get to the converting and loading them up there. But we'll put them up on keepthesabbath.com. So if there's some you missed or whatever, we'll put them on keepthesabbath.com. And also the Simple Truth, we'll have a link over to it under Feast of Tabernacles for messages. So if anybody wants any pictures, this afternoon we're going to take down the sukkah. If you, Israel says he's got his camera or a camera with him. If you want some pictures, we can have them emailed to you. We'll take them down. And anybody that wants to, we'll see you over at the lunchroom.
Thank you.